In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
38-15. Okay. And if they should run it two more times, they are going to throw it on a play action boot for the end zone for Bryce Caulfield. Open, caught. Touchdown, Beavers.
A tight end.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Here's Geno on a first down and 10, stepping up in the pocket. Looks, throws downfield, wide open. Touchdown, Seahawks. Zach Charbonnet wheels out of the backfield and nobody saw him except us. 30 yards for the touchdown. The Seahawks stretch their lead to 25-13.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
Bumped into a player, cuts off a 30, gets outside. He's got some speed and a block. He's at the 50. He's got a block and speed. One man to beat. 30. There's the block. It's a 10. That's a touchdown, Oregon. Noah Whittington.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080, The Fan.
All right. 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 1080, The Fan.
God damn it.
Not what you're looking for. What is happening?
The clip said, "Hey, Daddy Dirt."
Yeah, I know. I don't know why that
why
one got
that
jumbled.
Why does that clip not play what it says it's going to play?
I don't know. I do not
what are
know
we doing?
The answer to that. Nope, that's yeah, the
no,
same
it's
one.
The same
that's
one. The same. I just played it.
Yeah, that's that one twice. Where's the "Hey, Daddy
Wait,
Dirt"
let's
drop?
See if this one works. Oh,
no, yeah, that
Turtles
one's,
mating.
Yeah,
actually,
that
Turtles
still
mating.
In there. That's still in there, yeah. That's a good start to the week. I like that.
"Hey, Daddy Dirt."
There it is. You got to go to
Where'd
the next
you get that from?
Next page to the right. I don't know why the other one's still in there. It's next page to the right, top left. It's up there.
"Hey, Daddy Dirt."
There you go.
"Hey, Daddy Dirt.
Hey,
how we doing?
Hey, what's up, guys?"
We're almost old enough to me call you Zaddy.
I'm almost a Zaddy, man. I'm trying to get in shape, eating healthy in the fall. Not
Are
really.
You?
No, not at all. No, okay. Not at all.
I had a bad day yesterday.
Did you? I did too. I mean, it's first day NFL football. How do you not have a bad day?
Well, today is officially the start. I've locked back and I had two
okay.
full weeks of
now we're
just
back.
Disgusting behavior.
Starting now.
I was in the fridge. I was eating chocolate-covered raisins. I'm eating donuts all day. I'm eating ribs.
Just scooping syrup out of the container.
I, like, get to the end of my day. I'm like, oh, I don't feel very good.
Yeah.
Wonder why.
My stomach's all jacked up. What could it be?
What did I do?
Oh, maybe it was laying on the couch and watching football and eating crap all day.
Well, I had leftovers from all the stuff I cooked on Thursday and Friday, so it kind of worked out okay.
That's well planned out, then. I smoked a tri-tip yesterday. That
there
was good.
There you go.
That wasn't what I smoked.
That was a no. Looking for alternative forms of entertainment during NFL Sunday.
You know, the other thing about being like kind of unhealthy is when I was training for Hood to Coast, I didn't smoke. I went months without doing any of it.
You did.
And so yesterday, last year, every Sunday, I'd wake up super early, like 5:15 a.m.
Because we're psychos.
Well, I like to kind of prep for Monday.
Yeah.
And then also, I just get excited about Sunday, the idea of Sunday. Do a little cleaning, family's not up.
It's nice to be effective before everybody else is awake in the house.
Yeah, because, you know, for 7 hours...
Exactly.
I'll be lazy.
It's commercial-free football starting now.
And so I woke up yesterday, and I'm like, I'm going to get a yoga session in here. And so I dabbled in the ganja. And it derailed my day.
Did it? You weren't as effective as you wanted to be?
Dude, I got through the yoga, but man, after that, I was like, I was just all kinds of just, I don't know.
You're just sitting there zoning out, and you're like, wait a minute, 2.5 hours have gone by. Where'd my Sunday afternoon go,
it's
man?
Like 10:15, I had the red zone on, I had the 4 quad box going, I'm like, okay, I think we're getting out of the fog here.
I think I'm paying attention to all 4 of these games at the same time. Wait a minute, how did they score? I had a lot of those yesterday just because, you know, with kids, you're in and out. And so the red zone's on every TV in my house. So whatever room I walk into, it's like, oh, okay, I can keep an eye on it. There were a few moments, though, that I just was purely flabbergasted.
Really?
Like Broncos and Seahawks game. I missed the punt down to the 1 yard line, and sure. All of a sudden there's a safety on the board.
But which
like,
one? It's the first one.
It was the first one. I'm just like, wait, what? Huh? So then I have to like pull up my phone and be like, how did they? Oh, okay. There's a holding call in the end zone.
Right.
Now it makes sense. But when you go from room to room and you leave the TV for 20 seconds, you miss a lot of action.
As a first ever in my life having the Sunday ticket, because on Saturday we decided, my brothers-in-law and I, to have the Sunday ticket.
You did it. You pulled the trigger.
One's a Colts fan, one's a Dolphins fan, I'm a Niner fan. We're like, should we do this? Now, we missed the deal in August. That was stupid by us.
Not great planning.
But we decided, let's do it. Let's get the Sunday ticket. So we got the Sunday ticket. Got to get the red zone, of course. So you get the red zone attached to that. And I learned a valuable lesson yesterday, Andrew.
What'd you learn?
You can't quad box the Sunday ticket in games. Because you start to get confused which one's the red zone and which one's the game screen.
Oh.
So this happened yesterday afternoon. They showed quite a bit of the Broncos-Seahawks game, which told me all I needed to know about the afternoon slate, because that game sucked.
The afternoon slate was not very
good. And there were only 4 games.
And there were only 4 games. So I'm like, wait, is the Bronco... This is probably the haze I was getting out of
yeah,
all day.
Yeah.
Is this the Broncos-Seahawks game up here and the red zone down? I couldn't remember which one was the red zone based on how I was viewing it. So I have concluded that the red zone is going to be an iPad situation.
Okay, I like that.
And I'm going to pick the best 4 games on my big screen.
I feel like, yeah, the afternoon slate would be tough when you're trying to do Sunday ticket and red zone, just because there's not that many games going on.
And when it gets to bye weeks, there's only three.
Only 3 of them.
They're guaranteed a minimum of 3.
Yes.
There were some times when there were only 2 and it was awful.
So I think, I hate to say this because I love the guy, Scott Hansen, friend of the show, on it once.
You're booting him to the pad. You're booting him off the TV.
I think I might be in the afternoon slate. I might just put the games on, because that was the coolest part, I thought, of the morning slate for me was I got to watch all these games. Like, I actually get to, and not that you miss all that much by watching just red zone. I've been largely a red zone guy my whole life.
No.
Well, my whole adult life. It was like, oh, hey, I remember that funny thing that happened in the second quarter of Caleb Williams.
Yeah, right.
That I didn't see on the red zone.
I saw that play that nobody else was going to see unless you were watching the game.
Right.
The hard part for me was Sunday ticket. The quad box is a game changer, unquestionably. I love doing it on college football Saturdays, mainly because there's usually not more than 4 games that need to be watched at any given time, and so it's just kind of a perfect number. The hard thing for me would be trying to follow all the other games for the morning slate, because what do we have yesterday in the morning? 10 games?
8 or 9.
8 or 9.
Yeah.
So you got 8 or 9. You got 4 up in your quad box. How do I when am I deciding to rotate in and out?
Okay.
Do I go in with an idea of these are my 4 power rank games?
What were your 4 games?
Like going into the day?
Because I can tell you mine. It was
Atlanta-Pittsburgh would have been one for me. I gambled on it, and I was curious to see what Kirkers looked
like. So I'm going to be honest with you, in the trust tree, Atlanta-Pittsburgh was not one of mine.
Not one of your games.
Once I saw the start of that game, I went, nah, I'm out of here. I want nothing to do with field goal fest.
I would have gone Bengals and Pats because Survivor Pool, bye-bye, see you next year.
I did the opposite. I thought, if I watch this, I'm going to screw them, and they lost anyway, so goodbye.
Caleb's debut would have been one of my screens.
Yeah, definitely on there.
And then,
was Texans-Colts on there?
Texans-Colts was on.
Colts
mine.
Would probably be the 4th.
Cardinals-Bills was very interesting to me going in, and it lived up to my hype.
17-0 in the first half.
And Jags-Dolphins.
Yeah, and that ended up being a really good game.
That was a good game.
That was one of the better games of the day.
Should have been 24-7, by the way, but ETN fumbled in the end zone.
He did.
And then they came back, tied it, and won the game. Those were my 4 morning slate, like I was glued to them.
And then you didn't want to swap in Saints and Panthers? You didn't want to slide that one into one of your 4 screens?
Wow.
What the hell's the matter with you?
We could have. We could probably do a segment, and we don't need to. We won't.
No.
That is, and I'm telling you as the person behind it, bar none,
the worst bet you've
one
ever
of
made.
The worst yeah. Spraying the line picks in the show's history.
Yeah, it's not even close.
And you know, the funniest thing was this. I'm getting breakfast ready on Sunday morning, which is one of my favorites. And I've got Nick Costa screaming in my ear, these are my four favorite. And he's going off.
There were Panthers, a number of
yes.
professional handicappers
yes.
who were jumping
all
over the Panthers at plus whatever it was.
And I was cocky sniffing in my kitchen at 9:20. Oh, look at me. Me and the big wigs picking the Panthers plus the points.
I'm ahead of the curve yeah. here.
I felt so confident. And the
You're
Saints,
never smarter than the game.
No. Dude, the Saints no. in a matter of 4 minutes, real-time 4 minutes, not game-time four, yes. real-time 4 minutes, that game was over.
Two possessions into the game was over.
And so I'm like, look at me. Worst pick of the week.
This is what I hate about gambling, and it's so frustrating. Like, the fact that that loss for you in spraying the line counts the same as me losing a game in overtime last night that the Rams didn't cover, giving up a walk-off touchdown. If they just let Detroit score at the end of regulation and lose 24-20, I cover that number, and I got a 2-1 week. Instead, it goes to overtime. They lose the coin toss and then decide we don't want to play defense anymore in Buffalo, but Detroit ran it 17 straight times and scored a touchdown.
And there was never a world, despite what you're probably going to slip in at some point on this stupid show, there was never a world where I was going to have Janiel Dones on my TV screen.
You didn't want Janiel Dones on your screen?
I'll let the Red Zone tell me what's happening with Janiel Dones.
The jersey should have been enough.
I mean,
they should
God.
Burn those after the game.
Was that from the Frank Gifford area?
I don't know what that was.
Yeah. I think it was, yeah.
There's some things that don't need to be celebrated.
You know, it doesn't happen very often, but when you're a fan, I wonder if you admit this out loud. Like, Panther, Giants... Like, what do you have to look forward to? Your season's over.
Nothing,
and that's just such a depressing thing to say after 1 week.
Nothing. At least,
like Ryan Cooley, spare me the, hey, did you see the edge rusher in week 8?
No, you guys
lost by 30. Didn't see it. Sorry. Talk to you next year.
There's a stat floating around right now that Janiel Dones has.
I actually did talk to Janiel
Dones.
We
just got tagged in a tweet, actually. Somebody tagged
us in a tweet.
He's
thrown more touchdowns to the opposing team.
Three pick sixes.
Than to his team since he signed his $160 million contract. It was over a year ago that he signed that deal.
Oh, man.
He has thrown three pick sixes, and he has thrown two touchdown passes.
How does that GM still have a job?
How
does anybody
that watched the offseason Hard Knocks, how did Saquon look Friday?
Fantasy team was pretty conflicting good. With my gambling.
Pretty good.
Damn it.
This is why I hate fantasy.
Dude, seriously.
You're rooting for Saquon, but you don't want him to, like, I want him in the end zone, but I don't want him in the
you
end
want
zone.
Him in my, you want him in my hell?
I need the Packers to win.
Let me let you into my hell. I have Matthew Stafford as my quarterback. I gambled -4 on the Lions. Mm. Welcome to my hell.
Yeah.
My fantasy team, I said it, and then I kind of put it away. And so when I'm watching... I'm cognizant of it, but I don't have my fantasy team up when I'm watching.
Well, I wasn't keeping, I just kind of knew that Stafford was my, and I knew I had Saquon on Friday, and it's like, I got Packers +3, I got Saquon, what am I doing here? It's an awful spot to be in. I think the money always takes precedent here. This isn't a money league of fantasy I'm in.
It's
a braggadocious type of deal, you know what I mean? So
what did you gamble on and what it impacts your bankroll today? That's the that's the priority.
Yeah, so Janiel Dones, like you say, the GM, very fair point. I watched that Hard Knock stuff. He sounds clueless. Daboll also signed off on that deal.
He did.
There's no way that deal gets done unless Daboll's like, yeah, we can work with this guy.
You're just done, man. Imagine 1 week into the season, just over. There's zero hope, zero things to look forward to, nothing. Other than at least the Panthers, if they have the worst record for the second straight year, will have their own draft pick this year. So at least they got that going for them.
Will they make the right pick?
No, they won't.
Bryce.
They're going to fire their coach again, probably 6 games into the season. Bryce Young will be shipped up somewhere else, and they're going to go draft Shedeur Sanders. Have fun with that.
Yeah, man.
How long ago does that game feel? Nebraska, Colorado.
That's the thing. The NFL is back in our lives. In college, like, how long ago does the Friday night game feel?
I know.
Oh, yeah.
It's almost hard to put it on a show sheet. You're like, well, it happened Friday night, so we kind of have to talk about it today.
I'm a little overwhelmed, man. I'm a little overwhelmed from the weekend.
My eyes kind of hurt. It was a lot of, like, you know, everybody's getting back in shape. Yeah. My eyes were getting back
in
shape.
I wore out the couch on the weekend.
I got a TV headache.
I didn't have any obligations.
I thought I was dehydrated, but I drank a lot of water. It was a TV headache.
That's not what it was, man.
My eyes were like,
I rehydrated yesterday. Saturday.
Hydrated.
Saturday. Well, we you so guys washed. Know when
we're
I started
talking about
cocktails.
Hydrating to sit around and watch 8 hours of NFL football. Well, that's what we're talking about right now.
Well, Saturday ended up being a lot more interesting.
It was a great day of
it
college football.
It was a great day because the middle games, you were like, eh, and all of a sudden.
They were good.
Chaos unfolded.
Well, we got a lot to get to today. We won't get to all of it, but we'll get to as much of it as we possibly can. It is a no-guest Monday. I'm largely just going to lean, I think, on no-guest Monday unless something crazy happens.
Yeah.
Maybe next Monday, depending on what happens in Corvallis, but
yes.
Largely Mondays, no guest Mondays, I think.
The only thing I would be curious about would be to go to Miami and find out what's going on with the police department.
I'm not interested.
Yeah, that's a,
Tyreek Hill.
I'm actually a stand-up guy.
Like, no, you're not, but...
Didn't you punch your girlfriend in the stomach when she was
pregnant?
Yeah, there's
that. Yeah, but you did. Then,
I mean, it's not condoning what happened to him, but...
But
like,
he also looked like he was getting kicked by a cop while he was
on the
ground.
Then Calais Campbell comes out to try to say, hey, what's going on, and they handcuff him?
Yeah, I'm just going to wait for that stuff to sort itself out. Monday's the way to go here.
Put a guy on administrative leave right away.
Well, let's do this. Let's start the show, because 6 a.m. for us is always a kind of a weird hour. So what we're going to do to the 6 a.m. crowd is kind of reward you for hanging out with us so early. So coming up next, we're going to have a little bit of a local
peekaboo,
and we're going to touch on some of the local schools to tee up at the top of the hour, and then we'll dive into the NFL. We got a lot of college football to get to. We get it started next on The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
I'm John Aran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
All right, welcome back in Dirt and Sprague with a little bit of a local
peekaboo,
and we'll get back into a lot of this stuff at the top of the hour, but it is 6:15. It's early. Good morning.
Hello.
Coffee boys are here. Charged, ready to go. Woo! In my gym, watching China Green on KGW this morning, getting my news. And we'll start with the locals. Washington beat Eastern Michigan.
They did.
I don't really need to tell you much about this game. Will Rogers had 4 touchdowns. Jonah Coleman has been an absolute monster since he got to Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
And they handled the business.
Yeah, did not cover the spread, though, which I quite enjoyed.
Yeah.
Because I was ridiculed for taking Eastern Michigan last week. And I did it purely out of spite. I did it purely out of spite, yeah.
Did we give you a lot of grief for that?
I felt like I got a little bit of grief for that. Of like, really? We're doing this? Like, yeah. I mean, you know.
You're so petty.
I am very petty.
You held on to that.
I mean, this was a 7-6 game with 3 minutes to go in the first half.
It was. They didn't score in the first quarter.
It took them a quarter to get going.
Took them a while to get going. And then they woke up and did what they're supposed to do to Eastern Michigan.
Look, I think we learned this weekend in college football. Let's get away from the local pocket for a quick second. I think we learned, like, we do this every year for some reason. I said this to myself. Why did we not give more consideration of weird, wonky wacky, upset, weird games in week two in college football. That happens all the time, especially with teams who are starting new regimes or they played in big games. We looked at the slate and went, meh, it sucks this weekend. And I do that every year, and I don't know why I do that. I know it gets weird.
I know.
But I did it this weekend.
It's the ultimate calling card in the sport that you know the second you look at a weekend slate and say, eh, not that good. Something stupid's going to happen.
Exactly.
And we almost had Alabama lose. All these crazy upsets had happened. And so, we should learn that lesson again because this week's slate, horrible.
Mm.
Go identify the best game this weekend.
I believe there are two matchups of ranked teams.
I was watching Pate last night, and he announced that he was going to LSU, South Carolina, I think. And I'm
they're coming off a good win.
Game day's going to South Carolina for this game.
You're going?
At Whiskey?
Sure.
They just struggled with South Florida for a long time.
That's your big nooner at 9 a.m.
I mean, it might be us.
It could be us.
Given what I just saw from Notre Dame, they're going to Purdue. So, I mean.
Might be another loss for the Irish.
I could overlook that. Michigan State. I mean, come on. They might be 3-0.
It's a really bad slate. So, again, let's just remind ourselves Monday on Friday that something stupid's going to happen this weekend.
Huskies are now 2-0 in the Jed Fish era. The Cougs. Boy, they took care of business against Tech. They slaughtered Texas Tech. John Mateer, the story of the game. 197 rush yards, and they handle their business. I play a cut for them, but they don't post their audio. So
touchdown, Cougars!
Touchdown, John Mateer!
That is a 197 yards school record by a quarterback in program history. Most rushing yards in a game. So he has looked really good through 2 weeks. There's sometimes the college games pop up for me that I get even more upset about our gambling regulations in this state. I'm too lazy to drive and go make a bet.
I would have liked this one too.
There's no such thing as stealing money. This was stealing money. This line made Texas Tech's not good. Joey McGuire can't win on the road. Go look up at his home and road splits at Texas Tech. They're horrendous. He has like 2 wins in 3 years on the road. Can't do it.
He was the talk of the sport 2 years ago.
He was. And this is your Cougs are fighting for a Power Four seat. You're playing a Power Four team. You're honoring Mike Leach. It's a night game in Pullman. Everything was set up for this to be a win for the Cougars, and they took care of business. They looked really good doing it.
It was, my real only takeaway from the Cougars doing to Texas Tech what they did, it's just the first year post being in a Power Five for Washington State and Oregon State.
Mm-hmm.
Man, it just, you see the gap, and you're like, there is no gap.
There's no gap.
Like, they have more talent. They're quicker. They're bigger. They're better than Texas Tech, who's just comfortably sitting in the Big 12 because, you know, geography.
They're in the state of Texas.
Like, it's not there. Where's Texas Tech? What's the name of that town?
Lubbock.
You think the TV market in Lubbock is great?
No.
It's not a TV market thing. They're just in Texas, and they've been in the Big 12 forever.
Right.
So it's like they win the geography lottery, and they're in. And you watch, like, Oregon State, San Diego State. San Diego State, clearly in a rebuild with Sean Lewis.
Yes.
But that's a Mountain West team with some respect and cachet and name, and Oregon State's just dominated. And I'm just like, this is what sucks to me, is these two programs, we'll see what their seasons are. It ain't for talent. It ain't less than. We just watched Washington State just kick Texas ass.
Yes.
And they can't get in the Big 12.
Nope.
It's ridiculous.
None of it makes sense. There's no metric that you can point to of this is why schools are added or this is why they're not added. And
it's not TV market crap either.
No, it should be decided on the field. Yeah, and that's the most frustrating thing.
Simply geography.
It's all it is. It's like the Lakers. They're not well run. They won the geography lottery. Oh, we've got sandy beaches and nice weather. That's what's winning for you. It ain't Jeannie Buss and Rob Pelinka.
Get out
of here.
If you can win in Minnesota, build a title. Free agents come there, then you earn it. Then you do it the hard way.
So we had Washington State just obliterate Texas Tech. Down in San Diego, we had Oregon State taking care of business.
Say it, 38-15.
Okay.
And they should run it 2 more times. They are going to throw it on a play-action boot for the end zone for Bryce Caulfield. Open, caught. Touchdown, Beavers.
A tight end.
Bryce Caulfield catches a first pass by a tight end in 2024 on boot action to the right from Giovanni McCoy to Bryce Caulfield. 20-0 Beavers with 4:36 to play.
That's Doc Parker and our good friend Jim Wilson. A tight end.
I feel like a tight end needs to be a drop.
Can you pull that?
A tight end. That is drop worthy.
Jim has seen a lot of good tight ends in Corvallis. And so their first touchdown pass to a tight end was
I believe
Bryce Caulfield.
I had texted in the thread at some point.
Yeah.
It would be nice
to get a tight end.
If they had a tight end they trusted.
Oregon State's always had a good tight end.
They have always had a good tight end.
This was a little uncomfortable.
They had one, and now he's in Michigan State.
Okay. We don't need to shut up.
Sorry. Right. We don't need to bring that up this morning.
This was a little uncomfortable in the sense of they were only up 7-0 for a long stretch in this game, and that I know they were dominating defensively. They held San Diego State to 179 total yards.
Didn't they only have like 3 first downs in the first half?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I still don't like a game being only 7-0.
You're like, yeah, it got nervous there until they...
Well, and they fumbled on the... Before it was separated, Oregon State finally got their wake-up call and pulled away, but when it was still 7-0, they fumbled on the 2-yard line going into the end zone, and that was on 3rd and goal, which you probably go for it on 4th down if you don't fumble on that play, and maybe you score there and it could have been tied, but that was the wake-up call that they seemingly needed, and then they went 13-play drive, scored a touchdown, forced a punt. They at least missed a field goal, so they moved the ball a little bit on the next drive and then separated when it was 21-0. San Diego State... That felt like watching like local PIL JV offensive football.
Is that's that what dirt looked like on Friday nights?
Thursday nights, JV football, Thursday nights. That's what Oregon State's defense made San Diego State look like, dude. That was horrific to watch.
That was a bad team.
Having that game with the chaos and craziness of the Oregon Boise game and then the Oregon State San Diego State game, it was just like two different planets we were living in. Dumb big plays, explosive back and like what is happening to like they can't even get a first down.
And I don't care what the box score says. They're lying. There's no chance. I watched this game. There's not a chance in hell there was only 14 penalties because there was at least 85 on San Diego State. Yeah. Every other play, there was a flag.
So many penalties.
Dude, that game kind of sucked, and Oregon State dominated them, but like, holy penalty fest, man.
That's only penalties accepted. I think they declined a few because they were on third down.
Third down
and
holding call.
Had to be like 30 penalties in that game, and most of them declined because of those situations.
Yeah, 8 for 80 is ridiculous. The time of possession difference in that game was 41 minutes to 18 minutes.
41. I rounded up, so 41-19, yes, but like, holy crap.
That is ridiculous.
And finally, we had this down in Autzen.
Here's the approach of the ball being held. There's a little wind down there we might talk about in a moment. Here's the catch and return. Woodington's going to go back. 10, gets a crease, 20, bumps into a player, cuts off a 30, gets outside. He's got some speed and a block. He's at the 50. He's got a block and speed. One man to beat. 30. There's the block. It's a 10. That's a touchdown, Oregon. Noah Whittington. And a clean field, meaning no flags. That's a tremendous return.
Duck Radio Network heard here on The Fan, Noah Whittington. Less carries in the backfield, but a huge must-need kick return there. We'll dive into it at 7, but Noah Whittington with a kick return.
I don't know if there's a play that sums up that game more perfectly. Then the best play of the game, the biggest play of the game, and I'm glad we pulled that cut because they don't win without that 100-yard kickoff return.
What about Tez's punt?
Tez's punt return was incredible as well. Probably like a better overall play, but just in terms of the significance of where you were at that point in the game, you had found a way to go. We were going up 14, now we're down by 7, so that was fun to deal with. And then you return a kickoff, which, hey, look at that. And on the return kickoff, he drops the ball before he goes in the end zone. And if not for a teammate in Jaden Lamar picking the ball up in the end zone, that's a touchback.
Boise player just comes in and rolls on it. It's a touchback.
You lose the game. It was an incredible play. The moment you're just like, oh, I can't believe this is actually happening right now. They're running a kickoff back. And he dropped it before he went in the end zone.
We'll dive into the Duck stuff coming up at 7. We'll get back into Oregon State in the second hour as well. The NFL Week 1 is back in our lives. Let's talk about it next. Well, it feels weird to bring this up, but we had the NFL on Friday in Brazil.
We did.
And I think if you're a Packer fan, you're like doubly mad. It felt like they were the better team in the first half of that game. They had 2 turnovers of Jalen Hurts, but an ice rink of a field led nobody to have any real success in the first half.
Nope.
I think we had a cleat change or something because the second half they weren't slipping as much. And then the Eagles took advantage of that, made some key plays, one big bomb to A.J. Brown. And then the Packers on what they were hoping would be maybe a game tying or winning drive with just a few seconds left. Jordan Love suffers an MCL injury, and now he's out anywhere from 2 to 6 weeks, just depending on the extent of the injury, the rehab, all of that. So the Packers not only lose in Brazil and play on an ice rink, they then lose their starting quarterback, who they just signed to the massive deal.
Since we're like going hands up on bad bets this week, I'd like to put my hand up for a bad bet. I didn't really have a feel on this game. Excited to watch it. Green Bay, Philly, a couple playoff teams from last year. I got a quarter of the way through the first quarter watching it, and the offenses looked so dysfunctional, and Jalen Hurts was throwing terrible picks, and it just, the field, nobody could get any footing, and I immediately opened up my DraftKings account, and I bet the under of 47.5, and I'm pretty sure they hit the over at the end of the first half. All of us, like, literally, I placed the bet, and I'm like, this is going to be a dumpster fire of a game, and then it was like, touchdown, 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 and it exploded. So just hands up on bad bets this week. I bet the under in this game. A devastating start to the year for Green Bay.
Yeah.
Absolutely devastating. They brought in Malik Willis for the one snap.
That's their only quarter. Quarterback right now.
That's all they got, dude. They're
trying to sign Tannehill.
That's all you got. And so this is where we do these predictions and, you know, thoughts on the primetime schedules of, ooh, that should be a good game. This should be an exciting game. You never know who the hell's going to be playing.
Yeah.
We saw this with Aaron Rodgers in week one. Now, he was obviously out for the year. Love, thankfully, won't be out for the entire year. But you got to miss 6 weeks.
Well, up to 6 weeks.
Potentially.
He might be back in a couple
could
weeks.
Miss 6 weeks. I mean, at that, you're waving goodbye to the playoffs. I don't see Malik Willis holding this thing together. He is not a good quarterback. I'd have to go look at their next schedule and their schedule in the next month specifically, but that is as bad of a start to a year as you could possibly have.
Well, so this is where I will actually disagree with you. Now, Malik Willis is not a quarterback. I think they're going to get somebody. You have to. I would call the guy who was very mid in his broadcasting debut and see if he's interested at all. And that would be Thomas Brady.
You're already out. You're already on my train.
I didn't say I was out.
One
I said
game
his,
in.
No, his debut.
He sucks. He sucks.
If you want a debut review,
he sucks.
He was not very good.
There's no Greg Olsen.
He's got kind of a higher pitched voice than most.
Mm-hmm.
And the timing was a little, I think he's still figuring timing out because they only get like 3 seconds to talk. And so he's like giving stream of conscious thought, but he's like stopping at a weird point.
In the middle of a rant.
It's going to take time. Okay. This is their schedule, and this is where they need to get somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Colts, Titans, Vikings, at Rams, Cardinals. Those are the next 5 games.
Yeah, I mean, probably the Titan game. The Colts, Anthony Richardson had some incredible highlights and bad plays.
They can beat the Vikings. I'm not sitting here acting like the Vikings are all high and mighty because they dominated the Giants, who might quite literally be the worst team in football.
You don't have a Sammy D MVP ticket after that? You're like starting 12 straight completions, 4 tutties. Just get out of the way now. I'm just telling you.
That is gonna
the
be,
train has left the station.
That's going to be a tradition for you.
You're either getting on the train or you're off the train. Right. It's your call week one. You make your decision going forward.
We'll see what's happening. My point is, I don't think the Packers are out of this yet. Now, they may not fare very well. They may have sub 500, maybe 2-3 or 1-4. That's not the end of their year. Now, they're not going to be the Lions. The Lions are a different animal. We saw that last night. They didn't even play that well, and they were still able to not only cover the number, but win in overtime just running the football. But I think if you can get a Tannehill in there and just kind of hover, you know, just float.
Yeah.
You get Love back in 3 to 5 weeks. I'm not out on the Packers yet. That is devastating, though. You don't want to lose your quarterback and have any problems. And so, unfortunately for them, they suffer not only a loss, but an injury to their quarterback.
Well, and you're hoping it's the short end of the injury. Nobody wants him to miss time. He's a lot of fun to watch play.
Yeah, yes and no. So I like him. I'm in on the Packers. I picked him to win the NFC.
You did.
Can somebody talk to him about not every pass needs to be a fadeaway? What is he, Dirk Nowitzki out here just fading away on every single pass? And I'm like, dude, that's going to get you in trouble. And it did. He threw a bad pick.
Both quarterbacks threw really bad interceptions in this game. They both had their times of looking like, oh, that's the all-pro quarterback that got the big contract. And then, why did you pay these guys? It was like simultaneous thoughts the entire time. But that's what you get with young quarterbacks in the league. If he ends up missing 6 weeks, I hope the Packers can stay alive because I want them to go on a run. They're a fun story. And I am kind of rooting for them with Jordan Love. I like him. But it's going to be challenging for the next month plus. If you can hold serve, stay about 500, you got a fighter's chance. I don't know if Malik Willis could do that.
You know what I learned from week one? Because I want to get to the Chargers here.
Yep.
I learned every single team not named the Kansas City Chiefs have a quarterback that make you go, why would you pay him? Oh, that's why you pay him. Hey, why would you pay him? Oh, that's why you pay him. Like, that's what it is for every team in the league, not named Kansas City. You're wondering about this with everybody. There's not, how many players or teams, like even Josh Allen and the Bills had some moments where you're like, what are you doing?
I mean, he had turnovers again. They ran the ball a ton, but he got a strip sack fumble and he just hold on to the damn football, Josh.
He hurt his thumb, and like him and Lamar, and you saw this a little bit with Jaden Daniels, like some of these guys, like, I don't know if they can get through the season, you're going to run this much. Chargers started the Harbaugh era off with a dub. They beat the Raiders. Still very ugly a win. Herbert was not good in this game, and then also his receivers were not good in this game.
No. Yeah, he's still searching for...
Quentin Johnston is horrible.
Yeah.
Horrible.
They don't really have a lot of options, but also he wasn't very good. They ran it more than they passed it. Roman Ayres is here officially with the Chargers. We knew this was what they were going to do. Joe Alt was lights out against Max Crosby in that matchup.
J.K. Dobbins. Welcome J.K. Dobbins. To L.A.
Yep. Defense was really good. It wasn't a sieve the way it was last year, and they really gave the Raiders some trouble. So Harbaugh starts off the Chargers.
Well, Herbert talked about the offense finally starting to find some rhythm here in the second half.
Just staying patient, understanding that, you know, we got the right strategy out there. We got the right guys. We just have to go execute. And it didn't go our way in the first half. A few too many penalties, shooting ourselves in the foot. But the way the guys responded, reacted, and kept with it, you know, I thought that was awesome to see.
The rhythm was running the football. I'll be curious to watch them going forward. I have them as a playoff team, a wild card team, but and they got the dub, but still a little clunky offensively.
Their schedule is incredibly manageable, at least from what we've seen from teams in week one. There's not a lot of opponents on there that terrify you. You know who they play this week in week two?
I don't, actually.
They play the Carolina Panthers in week two.
That's a dub.
So you're looking at a nice 2-0 start. And then you get Justin Fields and the Steelers, and you got Knicks a couple of times on there. So the schedule is really manageable for them throughout the entire season. This is going to be the funniest thing for me to watch. Herbert, for the first 4 years of his career, has largely had to be their only guy. Like, put the team on your back, and if you don't do it, we have no chance at winning. Our defense is one of the worst in the league. We can't run the football. You're all that we have. He wins a game in which he doesn't do literally anything. I mean, he just was nothing. 140 passing yards. Mm-hmm. It was non-existent, essentially. I'm going to laugh my ass off when this is what he kind of looks like and their offense looks like. They find a way to go to the playoffs. They win a playoff game. This is his stat line. And people say, oh, well, Herbert's finally winning playoff games.
He's a winner.
Because this is somehow a quarterbacks or a win-loss stat. And this, you know, this is how we analyze the way that they play. It was nice, at least for the first time in his career, to not have to carry the entire load. He made a couple of throws. They had the touchdown late, but Quentin Johnston had some huge drops. He was horrendous in this game.
Ladd McConkey looked okay.
McConkey looks fine. He looks fine, but they're going to win by playing defense and running the football. That's what Jim Harbaugh does literally everywhere he goes. And if it leads to playoff wins, that's all that matters for him. But it is funny how different the Chargers looked one game in. Just the energy, the enthusiasm, the locker room stuff after the game. There's a belief, I think, from those guys because of who their head coach is. And that's a game that in years past, they find a way to lose.
We'll get to more NFL things. I didn't get to my other. I just wrote on my show sheet, Cleveland. Yikes.
Yikes.
We all saw it coming.
Yikes.
We may get into that a little bit later. More week one reaction. Good Sunday night game last night between Detroit and LA. So we'll get back into the NFL. I'll stay in the NFL, but we'll get back into some of the other action. I want to talk about the rookie quarterback debuts. Daniels, Knicks, Caleb. Let's talk about them next on The Fan. Or, as Adam Archuleta liked to say on the broadcast, oh no.
Oh no, Bo. Oh no, Bo. Don't go there.
Turns out Seattle was not playing backups like the Packers did in the preseason. Bo Nix on throws over 10 air yards. He was 2 for 12 for 42, and he had 2 picks. He averaged 3.3 yards per attempt on 42 passes, which is the 6th lowest yards per attempt in any game with at least 40 passes since the merger.
Not good, Bob. Not good.
Not a good start for old Bo up in Seattle.
No, I'm not really surprised by that. I'm actually kicking myself more so for not, like, why didn't we take this as a survivor
pick? Well, how would you have felt, though, going into, like, the midway point of the third? You would have been like, why did I trust this?
Because
they were somehow losing to the Broncos.
I mean, they were losing
despite how bad Knicks was playing.
It's because they kept punting it to the 1 yard line and getting safeties, man. They had like, how does that happen? They keep giving up safeties. At one point, Seattle's offensive line had scored more points against them than Bo Nix had. It just was a weird, funky game, which you get in week one. But when you look at all the atmospheres that rookie quarterbacks had to go play in, Caleb was at home against a really bad team in Tennessee. Daniels was on the road.
He was in Tampa.
In Tampa, but you know, it's not. Seattle's a little bit tougher to play. I don't know which team is better. But in terms of environments that you have to go into, that's a really hard environment to go into for your first rookie start. Like, I am not surprised in the least that he had a very bad game and struggled mightily.
Caleb in Chicago, the Bears had their fewest yards offensively in a game since 2020. They had 148 yards. They did not score an offensive touchdown. If you looked at the score, you'd say, oh, okay, 24-17. Good job. He threw sub 100 yards for the first time since 21 when he was at Oklahoma and they beat Iowa State.
93 yards.
They won this game because Will Levis threw one of the worst interceptions I've ever seen in my life and gave us a surrender cobra.
Mark Sanchez knew it immediately, too. Like, he's like, I've thrown that pick in the NFL, and he just, like, the second it left his hands, Mark Sanchez, oh, no. Oh, don't do that.
Well, if you would have asked me who throws the flicking ball as he's falling to the ground to try to make a play, pick six, I would have probably picked Caleb because I've seen Caleb make bad throws and decisions before.
Yeah.
Oh, Will Levis online too with like a word with his mayo.
Hold
cologne.
My mayonnaise.
Yeah, hold my mayonnaise. And they were up 17-0 in that game, and they somehow lost
17-0.
17-0. The Titans lost to the Bears. Caleb got the interview. Doesn't get any of the credit. They did that, all of that, despite Caleb Williams.
Caleb Williams was me through 4 years of college on group projects of like, can you just make sure my name's on it at the end when we hand this thing in? Because I did nothing, and I would like to get the credit for this A or B or whatever grade that we're going to get. Just make sure my name's on the page. That's all I asked for. They had 148 yards of total offense, and there has to be a stats and info thing on this out there. Has a team ever erased a 17-0 deficit and won the game without scoring an offensive touchdown?
Oh, that's a good one to look up.
Because that
I didn't see it in. I read a couple write-ups by the Bears writers. I didn't see that put in
that
there.
That has to be that can't happen very often, right? Like, just tell somebody, hey, they won 24. They were down 17-0. They came all the way back and won. Caleb had to play great. No. The offense did not score a touchdown. They had a defensive touchdown and a special teams touchdown. That's what got them over the hump.
Jaden probably looked the best of the rookie quarterbacks that played, that started, but they got obliterated by Tampa.
Yes.
He didn't throw for 200 yards. He did have a couple touchdowns running in. But
he had a couple of nice scrambles. He used his legs a few times.
Wasn't bad. He was 17 of 24 for 184, 7.7 average, but also looked like a rookie on the road against a division winner in Tampa, who was really close to beating the Lions in the divisional round. So
they were.
And my takeaway week one, love to overreact to things, instantly was like, I was kind of on Tampa in my brain all offseason because everybody was in on Kirkers and the Falcons, mm-hmm. and I stupidly pivoted out of that, and Tampa made me feel really dumb. They looked good yesterday.
They looked awesome. A lot of Daniels' numbers, too, passing-wise. I mean, they kept him in the game for a bit, and that game was lopsided, and they scored a little bit in the second half to make a little bit of a lipstick on the pig situation. He probably looked the best of the three, but all three of them struggled mightily, and I don't think we should be surprised by that, man. It's just a good reminder. They're all on bad teams, largely. Chicago, everybody is high on. They found a way to win that game, but I don't know how you're feeling after one game of saying this is going to be a playoff team.
All right, Dirt, I checked the stats here. This is from ESPN Stats and Information. The Bears, they are the first win with at least two non-offensive touchdowns and zero scrimmage touchdowns. And this isn't even the comeback. This is just
in general.
Since week six of 2006, the Cardinals, that is the Dennis Green they are who they thought we were.
Let him off the hook.
Yeah. The Bears overcame a 17-point deficit. That is the second largest deficit to overcome in a win without both a pass or rush TD in NFL history. That 2006 Bears Cardinals game was
so. It's the Bears. The Bears are always
the Bears find a way to do this. If you're in Washington, if you're in Denver, you're not expecting much from the year. The Bears were the unique one of like they came in with they could win 10, 11 games. This could be a playoff team. Maybe they won the game. So
Nick Wright picked him to go to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, yes, he did.
That takes sitting well with him.
So I think you have to buckle up and understand if you're a fan of any of those teams and rooting for any of those quarterbacks. Like this is how it looks. Go back. C.J. Stroud is the celebrated rookie quarterback from last year. Go look at what he looked like in his debut last year. He was horrible. And then he got better as the season went on. And so that's all you ask from these guys. Week one, it's okay to be bad. Can you make improvements? Do you not make the same mistakes twice? What do you look like in week five and week six? That's more important.
Bo Nix, though, has become what he was in college. He's become polarized NFL quarterback guy already one week in. This one from Stathead. Every quarterback who has thrown 42-plus attempts with 138 or fewer yards in NFL history. Bo Nix, 40 or 39-year-old Ben Roethlisberger, and Jesse Palmer. So, like, I understand what you're saying about expectations. You're not wrong.
Yeah, the question is, why are you asking your rookie quarterback on the road in a hostile environment in his very first game to throw it 42 times?
Well, this is the thing. Let it fly, dude. I'm okay with it. I mean, he's a mentally strong guy. He went through it at Auburn. Yeah. Like, he's been through stuff in his career. Like, learn from your mistakes.
But his reputation in college, despite you know, there being a lot of arguing was he's bubble screen Bo, and the NFL game one pretty much says, yeah, he's check down Bo.
I mean, he's a rookie quarterback. Rookie quarterbacks throw a lot of check downs. Breaking news. I did find the reaction to his performance.
He's polarizing. He's one game into his career. He's polarizing for people. Yeah, like Rich Eisen says, I think you should feel good. And everybody just dunking on him saying he's not good.
I did chuckle at the reaction to yesterday. And part of this is because I am a Bo guy and I'm rooting like hell for him. And I have watched Oregon's offense through 2 weeks. And I think, damn, I miss that guy. Maybe we should have given him more respect when he was at Oregon instead of saying he was just a product of what was around him.
You think Duck fan didn't give him enough respect?
No. I think Duck fan did. I think the people who looked at Bo Nix just thought, oh, he's not that good. He's not that talented. And look how different the offense looks with Dylan Gabriel, which we'll get to in a moment. I did find the reaction to his performance compared to Caleb quite comical. Caleb has went to Chicago. He is a can't miss prospect, number one overall pick, not a doubt at all.
Much better stable of receivers.
Much better stable of receivers. They're playing at home against the Tennessee Titans, who are going to be one of the worst teams in the NFL this year. He's got everybody to throw to. Their offensive line is supposed to be better. And how many offensive yards did they have?
148. 148. The fewest since 2020.
Those are all the games that Justin Fields played in. Justin the guy who Fields was not played. Good enough, who kind of not led his team. Kirk Cousins led the Steelers to a win, but I digress.
Well, the kicker for the Steelers led the Steelers to a win. Six field goal.
Caleb Williams, he was horrible.
He was not
again,
good.
I'm not throwing
Chris
any
Boswell,
of these guys under the bus.
Week it's one leader for
one game into their NFL here. Career. I find that reaction funny. Like, Caleb Williams is supposed to be the chosen one. Bo Nix was, really, you're taking him 12th overall? Okay, he throws bubble screens. Caleb Williams looked awful in his first game. I hope he gets better, but that was a horrific start for him.
It was not a good start, and many are wondering why Kirkers is playing in Atlanta. Put in Penix.
after his performance yesterday.
That was pretty bad.
Valid argument to make. Valid argument.
We'll have a little more NFL and college to get into. Let's start the second hour. The Ducks escape Boise State. Hour two on The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.